Let the Lord's lights be burning. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Hearing Congregation, now it's not the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 27, 2016, Earth 8-24-2020. We'll start our first service today with this song, Let the Lord's lights be burning.
Our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore, unto us He gives a keeping the lights along the shore. Let the Lord's lights be burning, send a beam across the way. Come for faith, ye struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has set all, now behind me billows roll. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the Lord's lights be burning, send a beam across the way. Come for faith, in struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. In your feet, all out, my brother, some for sin and tempest tall, crying out to make the harbor in the darkness made. Let the Lord's lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Come for faith, ye struggling seamen, we may rescue, you may save.
Everlasting Kingdom, Part 5, we're dealing with the Jubilee track by Brother Johnson. It's entitled The Kingdom. Then Jubilee is your second title. And he wrote this in 1998. And this is very good because Brother Johnson, Holy Spirit was guiding him to write these things. Even though he didn't make the fulfillment of all of these things, but the Holy Spirit was guiding him to write them. So he's saying on page, we're going to start though, but first we're going to refer to a prayer thought taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yahweh gives me my key word, and that is the word Spirit. Just about every day, that's my key word more than anything. It says, starting at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh calleth Yahshua a curse, and that no man can say that Yahshua is the Messiah but by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why Yahshua told Peter back there in Matthew 16, that's when he told Peter, he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father only. He said, in verse 17 of Matthew 16, it says, And Yahshua answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now this is the scripture that I stand by. But when the day that I had to meet with Brother Johnson over this Matthew 18, and Holy Spirit led me to announce that Matthew 18 was the words of Yahweh for this special time, and that I bind this truth in heaven against you and against this church, Gilead Sin. And it stood. So I knew then that Yahweh had given me the keys to the kingdom when that took place. Okay. Having said all that, let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And pay attention. I'll read verse 3 again. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh calleth Yahshua accursed. If you're speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh, you're not going to call Yahshua accursed. And that no man can say that Yahshua is the Messiah but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Messiah. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same as Yahweh, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirit. Keep that in mind. To another discerning of spirits. Now remember we said earlier that there's only one Spirit. But all of a sudden we have S on spirit here, talking about other spirits, though, that come in on the scene. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the self-same Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Yahshua. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Behold, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath Yahweh set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these are members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor and are uncomely apart, have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But Elohim hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of the Yahshua, and members in particular. Now he's talking to these Gentiles. And Elohim hath set some in the church first apostle, a secondary prophet. Okay, so now he put first apostles in the church, then he put prophet, I mean an apostle. See, the apostles, you have more than one in the church. But the prophets, you usually just have one prophet at a time. Thirdly, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak the tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Okay, now it says, covet the best gifts now. So, then it goes on and talks about, First Corinthians 14, verse 39, it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. If somebody come with a message in a tongue that you don't understand, if he has a true message, then he needs to have an interpreter, and if he doesn't have an interpreter, he needs to keep quiet. But if he has an interpreter and got a message to reveal, that's another thing. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, what does that mean? Forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, you're going to have people coming in that are of another language, that doesn't know your language, that they believe in your same religion, so to speak. So they want to worship with you. That's the reason why it says have an interpreter. If somebody comes with you, comes into your midst speaking another language, then by all means have an interpreter. If you don't have an interpreter, well, then the one that don't understand that come into your midst with another tongue, let him keep quiet, because the people that are present are not going to understand him when he speaks up. And he's not going to understand you when you speak up. So that's what causes confusion. Confusion. That's like people of the same religion arguing over doctrine. One with this opinion, one with that opinion. And everybody with a different opinion. And what they have, when they start talking about it, they have mass confusion. All right. That's all of a prayer thought. Let's just go right on into now our main study. We're on page 2 of this tract, Kingdom, a Jubilee tract, 1998, by Verus W. Johnson. There's a lot of good stuff in here to be brought out and to be brought to the surface again and to put new light that has come on it. So he says, V.T. Hardiff in the Antitype. The time period for the shepherd rod ended in 1970. A prophetic interval and antitype. Well, see, this is something else. Yeah, the 40-year time period for the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist at Mount Carmel came to an end. In Waco, Texas, it came to an end. Now, Brother Sonson, this is true, when he said the time period for the shepherd rod ended in 1970. Okay, that's true. But V.T. Holup, the leader, his time was up in 1955 when he died. And the scripture says, smite the shepherd, and the flock will scatter. So, why is that? Well, in Zechariah, in Zechariah 13, verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Okay. So now, V.T. Holup. Now, V.T. Holup didn't bring an end to the rod when he died, because he had a message taken from Micah 6:9 that he started his ministry with in 1930. And that was his key passage, was Micah 6:9. It says, Yahweh's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? So, Yahweh appointed the rod, and he appointed unto V.T. Holup in 1930. And the definition for the rod simply means authority to execute Yahweh's government. So, he announced the laws of Moses. He announced that we were in the antitypical Moses period, coming out of Egypt with the rod. He announced all that. And so he received that name, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, coming from David. And the scripture shows where David is represented by the rod. And so therefore, the title to the message should have been from then on, Hear Ye the Rod and Who Hath Appointed It. That should have always been the title to the message. Even when Ben Roden continued on from V.T. Holup, it should have been, Hear Ye the Rod and Who Hath Appointed. Brother Johnson, he continued on in 1970, Hear Ye the Rod and Who Hath Appointed. It should have been his theme. Okay, that's our theme today. So people get the idea when they're told that the rod period ended in 1970, that was the end of the shepherd rod and their message. No, that was just the beginning. The beginning started in 1930, and there's no end to it until the end of time. Right. So it says that 40-year period of the rod from 30 to 70 was a prophetic interval in Antioch, showing the end of antitypical John the Baptist. V.T. Holup as proven in 1 TGR 9, page 11, paragraph 1. So he says, Brother Johnson says, because V.T. Holup said this in Timely Greetings, volume 1, number 9, page 11, because he said that he was the antitypical John the Baptist, which was Elijah John, they called him. Okay, so Brother Johnson said, that's proof. It's because V.T. Holup said it. Thus our work has also as its type the Exodus movement, going out of Egypt, establishing itself in the Promised Land. This fact makes it plain that V.T. Holup and the shepherd rod message was a perfect antitype of Moses and his rod. Giving V.T. Holup and the shepherd rod message, the prophetic interval, and allotted time, period from 1930 to 1970, just as 40-year period was given Moses with the rod. Okay? At the end of the 430 years, the children of Israel were led out of Egypt by Moses with the rod. Likewise, at the end of 430 years, 1930, Pethahiah was called unto the prophetic office and given the shepherd rod message to deliver modern Israel out of antitypical Egypt, as pointed out in Zechariah 6:6. And the grizzled horses, SDA leaders, go forth toward the south country, Egypt. As the SDA leaders rejected the message of righteousness and justification by faith in 1890, A.G. White wrote, "The church has gone back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt." Testimonies, Volume 5, page 217. This is why Elohim called antitypical Moses E.T. Hollis in 1930. To deliver the church, SDA, out of antitypical Egypt and into the wilderness of people. Now, this is more right than Vicky Hollifin being antitypical John the Baptist, which makes him Elijah John. This is more right that he was antitypical Moses. He had the antitypical Moses, the third period, coming out of Egypt in 1930. So that would be the more accurate. You can't deliver a people until you deliver a message and causing them to understand the truth of that message. Then they have to accept that, that they understand it, before they can be delivered out of anywhere. This is why Elohim called It says, out of the antitypical Egypt and into the wilderness of the people. For the antitype of Moses with the rod. Moses died at the end of that 40-year period without leading the children of Israel into the land. Therefore, Elohim called Joshua with the Ark of the Covenant to lead Israel into the promised land. Likewise, antitypical Moses, V.T. Holler, died during the antitypical third 40 years of Moses' life. Well, V.T. Holler was 25 years into that 40-year period, but Moses finished out the 40-year period in the type. I know the rod period continued on until 1970 by prophecy, all right enough. So, at the end of the 40-year period, 1970, Elohim called antitypical Joshua to carry on the work of deliverance with the Ark of the Covenant. It is well proven fact that Moses with the rod died without leading ancient Israel into the land of promise. Type means antitype. For V.T. Hollis, as the antitype of Moses, died without leading the modern Israel into the promised land. It was Joshua that led them into the land with the Ark of the Covenant. Point we need to make here. V.T. Hollow led the remnant of the Adventist Church in 1930 that joined it out of spiritual bondage of Egypt. And he led them into the wilderness of the people. And he had a good place for his headquarters, beautiful place. On the top of a mountain, like, with oak trees, solid oak trees, and other kind of trees, but mostly oak trees, and overlooking a big lake, big water lake, looked like a sea, It was so big. Kind of like the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so now, it was Joshua that led them into the promise, into the land. Okay, yes, yeah, he led them into the land over the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, not the rod of Moses. Well, this is where Brother Johnson making a mistake here, because the rod, as I told you, represent authority for Yahweh's government. And the reason why Moses had a rod to begin with, because he was a sheep herder. And he was in that period of time when Israel was to be delivered by a sheep herder. Joshua, as far as I know, was not a sheep herder. So naturally, he wouldn't have a rod, a scepter. But he was to take that rod of the truth. That's all the shepherd's rod represented was, the authority for Yahweh's government. And that was a sanctuary system, and you had to have the Ark of the Covenant in your midst to represent the authority for Yahweh's government. So that's what you restore unto the people. And it was restored by the rod of Moses. He restored the sanctuary system down there in Egypt. Okay, so all Joshua did was take that restored sanctuary system and lead the children of Israel over the Jordan. But Brother Johnson makes a big point about the rod. You know, it was that Ark of the Covenant that's the most important. Without that Ark of the Covenant, there's no deliverance from anywhere, anytime. Moses used the Ark of the Covenant to deliver the children of Israel. But the rod was a symbol of Yahweh's government that Ark of the Covenant represents. And typical Joshua received this commission to lead modern Israel with the Ark of the Covenant in 1970. The facts further show that the rod of Moses was no longer an authoritative instrument of the deliverance after Moses' death. Yahweh had instructed Joshua, tell the priest to take up the Ark of the Covenant and step into the river Jordan. Joshua 3:8-16. As a result, the waters then parted and rolled back, and Israel crossed over dry shod, as Yahweh had done with Moses and the rod at the Red Sea. Thus we see that the work and authority of the rod movement of Moses ceased at the end of the third 40 years of his life, the time. For the shepherd rod ceased in 1970. Well, you see, that's, now this is what's bad. When Yahweh gives a message to a prophet here in these last days, and he says, the message now is, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? But he didn't say that message that one day then would come to an end, and it wouldn't be no more any good for anything. No, what he should have said, the shepherd rod message, it says ceased in 1970. No, the shepherd rod message ceased in 1955 when Vicki Hoddup died. It didn't cease in the period for it ceased in 1970, but the shepherd rod message did not cease. See, this is it sounds like a play on words, but it's really not. For the end of the third antitypical 40 years of Moses' life, the antitype 1930-1970, Joshua and the type and antitype. Now, we got a subtitle here. And so Brother Johnson is going to explain to you now about who this Joshua and the type and antitype. Now keep in mind that he says he was this Joshua son of Nun, 1970. Now pay close attention, because he's going to try to switch horses in the middle of the stream here on you and tell you now it's no longer Joshua the son of Nun that was born down in Egypt, but it's a Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, that came out of captivity with Zerubbabel and the Jews at the end of their 70-year captivity in 535 B.C. Okay, question. Well, there were several hundred years between the Joshua the son of Nun and Joshua the son of Josedek in the time. Joshua the son of Nun, he was with Moses in about 1460 B.C., at the River Jordan at the end of a 40-year period in the wilderness. 1460 B.C., and Joshua the son of Josedek came on the scene about 605 B.C. So you had an 800 years difference between the Joshua the son of Nun and Joshua the son of Josedek. And now Brother Johnson is going to try to blend these two together and make you think that now he's no longer the Joshua the son of Nun in 1970, but here in 1998 that he is the Joshua the son of Josedek. He's a whole new person now. So that's what we're talking about. Joshua in type and antitype. So now you can only have one Joshua in type. Either it's Joshua the son of Nun, or it's Joshua the son of Josedek. So if you can't have two Joshuas representing the type, you cannot have that. Question, what was the next step and to whom were they chosen to turn? For Yahweh commanded Moses to call Joshua and to present. Now, when I say Joshua and connected with Moses, I'm going to also add the son of Nun, the one that came out of Egypt. As a matter of fact, that was born down in Egypt. Joshua, the son of Nun, was born down in Egypt. And he was born in captivity under Pharaoh. Now Moses, Moses spent 40 years in the palace of Pharaoh before he escaped, showing that he had to escape out of there in order to get out of Pharaoh's palace. When Moses turned 40 years old, he tried to deliver the children of Israel by killing an Egyptian. Thought that was the way it was going to be done. Kind of found out it wasn't, so he had to flee out of Pharaoh's palace. He fled for his life, went into the wilderness of Midian. So Moses was also under the captivity and in the captivity. And he was also born in captivity under Pharaoh. Moses was. Joshua was. All right? Yahweh commanded Moses to call Joshua and to present themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that Yahweh may give him a charge. This he did before he allotted 40 years of the rod had ended. Likewise, before the allotted 40 years of the rod under the V.T. Hollis had ended, Yahweh called antitypical Joshua, V.W. Johnson, and gave him a charge. Elohim's charge was to Joshua. Joshua was, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And I will be with thee." Deuteronomy 31:23. The type. Question, what admonition did Elohim give to the antitypical Moses V.T. Hollis for antitypical Joshua? The first of these abominations is, "Thus our work is also as its type, the Exodus movement going out of Egypt, establishing itself in the Promised Land." 1 TGR 9, page 11. This quotation applies to both antitypical Moses and antitypical Joshua. Due to the fact that both were servants of Yahweh and the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. into the promised land. Likewise, would it be in the Anatite? This fact makes it plain that the Jehoiada's work with the rod was a perfect antitype of Moses and his rod. Likewise, the work of Antiochus Joshua and the delivering of the children of Israel out of the wilderness of the people into the promised land is a perfect antitype of typical Joshua and his work in delivering the children of Israel out of the wilderness of Sinai into the promised land. See Joshua chapter 1 verse 6. The second admonition is, in that day shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent, comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Isaiah 4:2. Elohim's denomination of the day. White House Recruiter, page 53, paragraph 2. From this we conclude that the branch of Isaiah 11:1, 10-12, is the next great movement after the rods, shepherd rods movement, that Joshua is Yahweh's appointed messenger, servant of the branch of Isaiah 11:1, 10-12, movement or denomination, not the antitypical Ishmael, Benjamin L. Roden. The third admonition is, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for the ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his list shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:10. The work of Vitihalif and the shepherd rod was for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not for the Gentile. In the spring of 1990, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, I have given unto you Paul's commission, that is to unite the Gentiles with the Israel, the 144,000 of the day, the Antichrist. For there is hope for tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not see. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. That is in Job 14:7-9. In 1888-1890 A.D., Elohim sent a message by Elder Jones and Wagner entitled Righteousness and Justification by Faith. But the SDA leadership rejected the message in 1890. As a result, the tree was cut down, leaving the stump. 1930, Elohim sent the fourth angel's message, Revelation 7:1-8, the shepherd rod by V.T. Hodder to be given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thus, since it was an inspired message, it caused the tree to once again grow by the causing the rod to grow out of the stump of Jesse. In 1955, Vitiha died, causing the tree to wither. And he said, the Yahweh will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitation of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Amos 1:2. So when did the Yahweh roar out of Alpha from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem? 1955. When Vitihalif died and the top of Carmel withered. That was the name of his kingdom. And he said, the Yahweh will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Amos 1:2. Leaving the Ishmael branch on the scene to complete this last 15 years of life for the shepherd rod. Now here's another thing. There was no Ishmael branch there at the time that Vitihalif died in 1955. All there was the Mount Carmel, the shepherd's rod. That's all there was there. Because his wife Frances took over as soon as he died, and she ran the show for the next 5 years. And she made predictions that didn't come true, so she sold the place off, and Ben Roden had to move off with his family and a few followers and go out and find him another place to build a headquarters. And he and Ben Roden, he called it the new Mount Carmel. So he didn't change the name until he got out there at New Mount Carmel at his compound where he was in charge. And then he called his message the branch. He called it a new movement. So he's the one that started his version of the branch about 1960. So the thing is, we need to understand things as they actually are. So he says, Vichy Hollop dies in 1955, when the top of Carmel withered, Avis 1-2, and leaving the Ivy branch on the scene to complete the last 15 years allotted for the Shepherd Rod. Well, the Isaac branch did not operate as the Isaac branch. The Ishmael branch. That should say Ishmael branch. The Ishmael branch was not even thought of or invented until Brother Johnson took over in 1970. And then Brother Johnson didn't even come up with the name Ishmael branch for Roden. It was his mother-in-law that came up with it. Well, I got that wrong. It was my wife, Catherine. It was her mother, Miss Boling, B-O-L-I-N-G, that came up with Brother Johnson being the Isaac branch, and Brother Roden being the Ishmael branch. And that was thought about 1972 when that happened. And so Burles didn't even know that he was the Ozzy branch. Nobody knew that Ben Roden was even connected with the Ishmael branch until my wife's mother, Teeny Boling, she was the one that came up with that. And then Brother Johnson, he's glad for the good news. And his Brother Johnson's supposed to be a prophet, see? And he was. But he should stay out of the business of prophesying stuff, and that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He should just stick with what Yahweh gave him. Now, I read to you about those talents there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Whatever your talent is, that's all you're supposed to use. That's all you're supposed to use it for. Now, Brother Johnson definitely had light on the creation calendar and how to restore it. He definitely had light on all of that. That's all his job was to take and restore that sanctuary system and teach my people my government. And that's the definition for the rod. Authority for Yahweh's government. So Brother John said, Yahweh told me to teach my people my government. So all Brother Johnson's job was to restore the sanctuary, put it back in operation according to the true time, for all the feast days, restore all of the divine institutions that had been trampled on foot by the man of sin, and teach the government of Yahweh from the law of Moses. That was all his calling was. It was no more than that. And yet he goes around inventing all this new stuff. I'm the antitype of this and that. He was just called to restore the law of Moses and to teach Yahweh's government and the antitypical spiritual life of the sanctuary. Okay. Leaving the Ishmael branch on the scene to complete the last 15 years of life of the Shepherd Rock movement, and it was cut off in 1970, at which time the Isaac branch came on the scene of action And according to prophecy, prophetic history, type and antitype, as a branch from the root of Jesse. So Brother Johnson didn't know any of this stuff until after one of his members came up with that and went and told him, hey, you know what? Ben Roden is Ishmael, and you're the Isaac. Okay? He didn't even, never even thought about it before. That is in the day of the branch in the Christian period, in the day his family tree is completed, than it is at the kingdom of peace, church purified, sprouts, so to speak, from the ground up. The thing stands for an ensign to the people. So what is he talking about? That is in the day of the branch. In the, he calls it in the Christian period. But the Christian period is commonly called the period during the time that they're sojourning in the wilderness together, the Jews and the Gentiles in our day. And they've been journeying that wilderness together since 1500 when Martin Luther come out of the Catholic Church with the message of righteousness by faith. They've been Christians and all types of religious people have been joining together and calling themselves Christians. And a lot of them amalgamated into the Adventist Church in 1844. And from that day on, Adventist Church has been an amalgamation of every race, kindred, tongue, and people that wants to come and join them, of all religions. And so that's what they call the Christian period. And that is in the sojourn of this amalgamation of races in the wilderness of the people. That is, before the kingdom is set up, that's the Christian era. But when the kingdom is set up, then you separate these here amalgamated bunch from the saints that are also in this amalgamated bunch. And you separate them from each other. And then you start the, guess what? You start the period of the purified church. It starts, it becomes purified with the head, and then it goes right from there. And the head, it goes right on until this little mountain, this stone grows to a mountain, fills the whole earth. And it gathers all people from every race, kindred, tongue, and people. That makes this little stone grow into a mountain and fill the whole earth. But it's after Pentecost, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when they're sojourning together in the wilderness from 1500 up to now, even up to 2016, they've been in the wilderness of the people, and that is the before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you show that the harvest is on, and that you're separating the wheat from the tares. Every time you have a judgment on a people, you separate the good from the bad. And the good are spirit filled with the power of Pentecost, and the bad are cast away. Right? That is in the day of the branch in the Christian period. Okay, so the day of the branch is now, and the Christian period is over. The Christian period reached clear up to 2002. The Christian period reaches up to the time at the 144,000 or seal. And when that happens, the Christian period is over. Because they're all the ones on the right side of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On the left side of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they are left behind, those that didn't get the outpouring, they are left behind. The others enter into his kingdom, everlasting kingdom, never to go no more out. Forever saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, without sin, separated from sin. This is in the day of the branch, in the Christian period, in the day this family tree is completed, then it is that the King of Peace, church purified, sprouts, so to speak, from the ground up. It then stands for an instant to the people, and to this shall the Gentiles seek for salvation. Plainly then, this old family tree, a kingdom, is to be set up while probation lasts. Moreover, the place where it is to stand, rest, shall be glorious. It is therefore to have its own location and its own boundary line. It is to be for the gathering of the people, the ark of the today, as was Noah's ark in the Noah's day. So we are again brought to the same truth which Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4 teach. First teach ye R 31, page 5, paragraph 2. Okay. In 27 AD, Yahshua was baptized by John the Baptist. His forerunner on the 16th day of the 7th month. Yahshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, which brought us to the 26th day of the 8th month, the day in which Yahshua began his ministry. 3.5 years later, Yahshua ate the last Passover supper with his disciples. Instituted Yahshua's supper to take his place, set up the apostolic church, and appointed unto it a kingdom. Okay, now this is interesting. In 27 AD, Yahshua was baptized by John the Baptist. His forerunner, on the 16th day of the 7th month, Yahshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Also on the 16th day of the 7th month, 30 years earlier, Yahshua was born. See, that point should have been stressed. Yahshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, which brought us to the 26th day of the 8th month, the day in which Yahshua began his ministry. 3.5 years later, Yahshua ate the last Passover supper with his disciples, entered Yahshua's supper to take his place, set up the apostolic church, and appointed unto the kingdom. Okay. Likewise, just before the Passover week in 1968, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, teach my people the government of Yahweh. That's what I was telling you. Teach my people the government of Yahweh. Yahweh's instructions followed this command, and I have been teaching his government ever since in the summer of 1969. The word of Yahweh came unto me again, saying, make my people a biblical astronomical calendar, that they may follow my governmental system. Okay, so in 1968, around the first month of the year of Passover, he was told to teach my people my government. 1969, he says, now make a biblical calendar so that they can follow my government. Now, this I did and have printed a calendar every year since. On the 16th day of the 7th month, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, I was baptized with the Spirit of Yahweh as shown in the type. Now see, Brother Johnson saying, on the 16th day of the 7th month of the Feast of Tabernacles, I was baptized. He's talking about the Spirit on the 26th day of the 8th biblical month of 1970. The word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, go to the field, the Davidian camps, and say, the time is fulfilled. The antitypical 120 years of Moses' life is ended, 1850 to 1970. Now the question is, where is the kingdom? I asked. There was no answer. Brother Johnson, I asked. He said, I asked, where is the kingdom? He said, I didn't get no answer. Now, after that John was put in prison, Yahshua came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1:14-15. The 26th day of the 8th month of 1970, plus 3.5 years, brought us to the Passover 1974, at which time, according to the type, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom, The Apostolic Church, Daughter of Jerusalem, Matthew 1:2-17, Daniel 9:26, Luke 22:29, and thou, O tower, a shepherd of the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee, shepherd shall it come, even the first dominion. Your kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Micah 4:8. This, of course, refers to the mountain of the house of Yahweh that is to be set up in the last days. The daughter of Jerusalem Church, Micah 4:8, cannot refer to the daughter of Jerusalem Church, called forth by Yahshua, Zechariah 9:9, due unto the fact that the first dominion is given only unto the daughter of Jerusalem Church, pointed out in Micah 4:8. Something that did not and could not apply unto the daughter of Jerusalem Church set up by Yahshua Messiah and his disciples as shown in Zechariah 9:9. Admonition number 4 is, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, Zechariah 3:8. Now here Brother Johnson is, 1974, he said he was, as Joshua the son of Nun, he said he was told that the kingdom is now and to set it up. So he set it up as Joshua the son of Nun. Now here he comes along 24 years later, and now what happened to his kingdom of 1974? What happened to it? Nobody ever saw it rise. Nobody ever saw it materialize. Nobody ever saw it do anything. But just Brother Johnson's vain imagination, that's the only place that that kingdom was created. Now here in 1998, 24 years later, all of a sudden, now he's going to raise up another kingdom. And now he's got a different Joshua, the son of Joseph, up. And now he says, well, now I'm this Joshua, the son of Joseph. Now I'm going to set up this kingdom. But the thing is, see, Joshua, the son of Joseph, according to Viti Hata in Zechariah 3, is true. He is the one that's going to set up this kingdom. But he's antitypical David. That's what Viti Hata said. He said that Joshua, the son of Joseph, is none other but this antitypical David that is to be raised up. So Brother Johnson saying that he's this antitypical Joshua, the son of Joseph, in 1998. So what he's saying is, I'm this antitypical David. And he just condemned Ben Roden in 1970 for having himself anointed and crowned King David at his compound. And he said, there ain't no King David. Jesus Christ is antitypical King David. You see what I'm talking about, how confused this man was? You see why he raised me up and had me to come through the ranks of the Adventists? And at the same time that I was in the ranks of the Adventists, I was also witnessing to the Mount Carmel. I'd gone down and witnessed to them during the time that they were in existence, during their 40-year period. And then when Brother Sean came on scene, I joined him, and then I witnessed to both the Seventh-day Adventists and Mount Carmel during the 70s, 80s, and 90s. For another 30 years, I witnessed to Mount Carmel after I joined Brother Sean in 1972, up to 2000. I don't know what I'm talking about. Obviously, then, as a result of this revival reformation within the Laodicean Church, another church emerges of which Joshua is in charge of, and not the angel of Laodicea. Now here it is right here. Brother Johnson is having to quote V.T. Hollis from Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 8, Page 24. He had to quote him and put him in here. Brother Johnson, not knowing that he was this angel of Laodicea. And all the time, Brother Johnson is calling himself this Joshua, the son of Josedek, that V.T. Hollis wrote about it here, in Timely Greetings, way back there during the Rod period. Who is to bring this revival and reformation, this great change? the branch. According to Isaiah 11:1-10-12, the branch brought to view is the Yeshua that grows out of the roots of Jesse. 1 TGR 8, page 24. Admonition number 5, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall the Gentiles seek, and his race shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:1-10. From this we are compelled to realize that the church in which Joshua is in charge, which would be antitypical David, the church in which antitypical David is in charge of, is the antitypical daughter of Jerusalem. There it is right there in the prophet's own handwriting. He is saying this Joshua, which is antitypical David, is in charge of and is the antitypical daughter of Jerusalem, pointed out in Micah 4:8, the one coming out of the roots of Jesse. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact at the 11th hour call is number 11. Click on our audio archives for hear this message and more. And the earth made new by the Elijah David. And the earth made new, and the sky has a blue, and the clouds are silver blue. The people speak when spoken to, and their love is not returned. I've heard the view of what they say, for I had it on their heads. They have to be each other, I'll be left in for you here. And the earth made blue when the skies are blue. I can't hardly wait to take you in and take my place just inside of the golden gate. For you tell me that it is the land where the freedom does end. But everything's in the surety like causing the heart to sing. And the earth made blue when the skies are blue. On the top of Zion's hill, and the only ones that enter, and the ones who be his will. And the earth made new where the skies are blue. I can't hardly wait to enter in and take my first step inside of the golden gate. For they tell me that it is the land where the freedom bells ring. Everything is surely right, calling the heart to sing your ear.